Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. Leo.
Rudy, Bull Durham, a league of their own. What do they have in common? Well, nothing but the movie we're about to talk about. Welcome to the Film Freak Movie Interview. Leo Quinones with you. I am not a host. I am a host. I am not a movie critic. You know what? And movie critics rhyme with movie cynics. There's a movie coming out June 19th, video on demand, funny as hell. Snappy dialogue, made me laugh all the way through, and you guys are going to like it. It's a sports movie. It's called simply Balls Out, and we're going to have a screening at the Los Angeles Film School this Tuesday. And if you want to go, email me, leo@filmfreak.com, leo@filmfreak.com. I'll be there with the cast and the crew and the filmmakers and a ton of prizes. But to get into it, I've got two cast members in studio right now. We're going to throw back and forth. It's going to be a verbal volley. I don't know what's going to happen. By the way, Balls Out is rated R. So please welcome in studio right now the one and only Brian McElhaney, yeah, right over there, and Nick Kocher. Yes.
All right. Well,
very
done.
Well pronounced.
Good intro. That was great.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I love sports movies, guys. And you know what? It's always good to call on a...
This is kind of a sports movie.
This is sort of a half sports movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to call bullshit. I think it's a sports movie. I really do. So, Balls Out, for the viewer watching right now, who's going to give me the synopsis?
Nick will.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Dodge that one.
So, Balls Out is the story of a group of flag footballers who take themselves way too seriously, mm-hmm, and essentially understand that the world of flag football is very low stakes, but come at it pretty high stakes, realizing that this is, to quote the movie, their last chance to do something that doesn't matter.
Nice.
That was really good.
Really,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason I threw it to you is because we shot it 2 years ago, and I was like, what is this movie?
Unbelievably impressed with myself for that.
Isn't that strange when they put it on the shelf and you go, hey, we worked hard on that.
Yeah. And people are like, what was your character like? And I was like, I don't know.
I think his name was Alex.
Well, the good thing about Balls Out, it wasn't 3 hours. It was 90 minutes.
Yeah.
No,
beginning,
it's great.
A middle, and an end. You know, I'm so goddamn tired of interpretive endings, and you guys kind of...
No. There's no interpretation.
If
it's
you
very
are
definitive
interpreting
point.
Something different from what the movie actually
you
were
looking
suggests.
Too hard into this film.
I do think that the R rating was a little harsh.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, what would it be rated on?
I mean, there's probably language, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think someone's smoking, those two funny sportscasters,
yes,
are smoking some pot.
They do.
Yeah.
And then Jake Lacy, not to ruin a key moment, but something with fecal matter happens. I think that may be...
It's tasteful, though. It's like...
Fecal is tasteful?
Well...
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
I mean, it's
yeah.
not the most tasteful.
You eat poop?
No. I can't believe I was just made to deny that
I eat
poop.
Then they coach your dog protests too much.
It came out of your mouth. So, all right. Well, listen, let's talk about who you guys play in this crazy world. So go ahead and start, Brian.
I play a character named Chance. Chance is a sort of goth, emo, effeminate magician wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first saw that part, I was like, I don't know what the hell this is or how to play it. But it turned out to be a great challenge and a lot of fun. I got to really deck myself out in like a bunch of necklaces and black clothing and dyed my hair jet black, which is something I always wanted to do and my mom would never let me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 28 now. I don't know why I didn't just do it. And then I wore like a purple extension and painted my fingernails and wore eyeliner. And it was great fun, and I got to, you know, I got to be a very good wide receiver, which through the magic of filmmaking, they made me kind of. And it was great. I got to sort of adopt this character who's has a lot of like hurt inside of him, and sort of hopefully bring like a sense of humanity to this otherwise really silly, silly character. That was my goal.
Very important. Very important at the end there.
Yes.
Borderline Daniel Day-Lewis we're talking about here.
I've always thought that about myself, so thank you for saying
it. In a way, Brian kind of really was in character for that period of time because they couldn't wash out the mascara and his hair was dyed, so we were walking around Austin and Brian very much looked like a goth
But
guy.
Here's the crazy thing. It's like I had eyeliner, which I didn't wash out, and like, you know, that purple extension, and my fingernails were painted polka dots.
Yeah.
But when I walked around Austin, I was out of my costume, so I wore like gym shorts and a t-shirt. So like when I'd order at Starbucks, I feel like the baristas would be like, dude, like, pick an identity, man.
What are you?
So there was a difference of humanity from the way people treated you dressed like that and in that kind of look?
Definitely. Absolutely. I loved wearing eyeliner. I really did. I remember when I came back to New York, I told my girlfriend at the time, I was like, I'm going to start wearing eyeliner. And she was like, no. I was like, okay.
It would be so strange. With a beard. A man with a beard
that's
wearing
true.
Eyeliner.
I think the beard may have to
so
go.
So confusing.
But I felt more confident in it. I really did. I felt like people kind of treated me like, oh, this guy kind of knows something about himself. Like, cool.
Did that being an outsider, Brian, help you get into character?
Yes, it did. I always feel
I would think so.
Putting on a costume, like you can like practice a character a lot, but the moment you step into its costume, you really kind of like almost your body almost falls into it. It's great to like look at yourself in the mirror when you look totally different. Yeah, it really helped me.
All right. Well, let's talk about the man, the focus. I think it's your point of view, or you drive it. Let's talk about your character.
Okay, my character's name is Grant Rosenfallis.
Now, let's break that down.
Yes, let's really look at
that. I do believe that has some kind of a prophetic, you know, to his character's journey. Am I right?
Yeah.
Rosenfallis. He rose, and then he...
And then he falls. Also, phallus... means penis.
Yeah.
So Rosen, I don't know what that means.
Did Bradley come up with that name?
Red penis? Yeah.
Did he
That's
tell
not
you?
An accident. That name is not an accident. I'm
if
just
you
saying.
Say so. When you no, see, we've already discussed the danger of reading too much into this movie, so you're tiptoeing that.
Well, you had a certain cadence in your speech. Tell me about your guy.
So my guy is just your... At the beginning of the movie, he's like a goofy, fun, you know, flag football player. Doesn't take the game very seriously. And then he is injured in the opening scene. He's paralyzed from the balls down.
Mm.
And he sort of goes into hiding for several years. Yeah, just take a moment and really feel those emotions.
Both of them.
He goes into hiding, and then later on, when Caleb, the sort of main character of the movie, wants to get his old flag football team back together, he goes to Grant to be the coach, and Grant at first resists and then decides to be the coach, but he's sort of undergone this emotional and physical change, and that he's in a wheelchair and he talks like an 80-year-old man. And he sort of becomes this kind of crusty archetype of the angry coach.
All right, we have a pretty good idea of who both of you play, but the thing that stands out in Balls Out is the writing. You know, I just want to know how much of that was on the page, how much was that on the day? Did you guys get 10 takes? Was it a rush production? You only had one or two takes? How did it flow out?
You know, it's very interesting because so Bradley Jackson wrote this script and it was really funny. And really when we got to set, what Bradley, he was like, listen, I really love the structure of this script. This is exactly how I want to do it. We have hired comic actors for a reason because we want you guys to bring in literally whatever improv you want to do. Like, film it once, like it is on the page, maybe, and then just sort of go nuts. So we really did have a lot of takes where we got, I don't know, so many takes. I think Nick Rutherford was sort of king of just doing the most insane line-o-ramas. It was great. So like when we saw the premiere in Tribeca last year, when the lights went down, we were like, we don't know what this movie is. There are literally infinite ways
versions
to,
of the movie that could exist.
And it turned out they really found like the right sort of balance of you know, improvs to what was on the script. So they were really open with it, which
is
great.
It's very, it's like a lot of the, you know, the, all the structure and the scenes and like the feeling of the scene and what's happening in the scene, that never really changed. But the jokes, you know, there's just so many different versions. There's so much improv.
The layers of the jokes and how it pokes fun at the genre of this kind of a movie is, you know, that was to me one of the most refreshing layers. You know, just absolutely spot on funny.
Yes.
So
yeah, and you have to give a lot of credit to Bradley and Andrew Disney, our director, for that, because they really, and
Jeff Waldron.
Yes, Jeff Waldron, for creating the look of it, because they really found like the tone of it and were very clear of what they wanted in terms of like, we're making fun of this archetype now, we're making fun of this scene now. And then once they had like that foundation down, then they kind of let us play with the words in it. But yeah, they really did a good job of doing their research.
So were you guys terrible or were you guys awesome?
Were we
flag.
Terrible?
At flag football.
Oh, flag football. Oh, yeah, just in general? Oh, man, this is a deep question. I'm terrible. Yeah. If I talk to Nick's father, I think I'm terrible.
Well, I noticed why the flow was so good with you guys, because you guys have your own standalone thing that you guys do. Britannic.
But everyone makes that mistake. Don't feel bad.
Okay, Britannic.
Brian. Everyone.
All right.
It's like Brian, Nick, and Titanic together.
Okay, good. Well, so tell me about it.
Well, you know, we have a comedy duo that we've been in for, 8 years now or something. It's more like a relationship at this point.
Yeah.
We started by doing internet sketch comedy on YouTube back when that like was not the thing to do.
Right.
You know, like when we were graduating college, we were like telling our teachers and our parents that's what we were doing, and they were like, YouTube? That's not any kind of way to get seen or go into the industry. And now it's like, it's just so oversaturated. It's crazy. But back in the day when we first started, there was like, you know, 10 sketch comedy groups on YouTube. Put our stuff out. And that just started snowballing. And we started, you know, performing live and doing stand-up and improv and other acting gigs. And that has, you know, that in a way led us to Balls Out. And what's interesting is Nick and I really only have... yeah, I skipped some steps in there. Nick and I only have one scene together in the movie where we talk, and that's scene on the beach where I'm shooting Will with the gun, and, you know...
And I'm getting upset at Brian for shooting Will with the gun.
Yeah, and that's it.
Oh, again, we're talking about a hilarious scene there. I mean, it just pokes fun, you know, at the genre. So, with this film, let's talk about some of the other teammates, since they're not here today, and let's shine some light on them and maybe talk about some of the camaraderie, maybe some about... You know, what happened 2 years ago? I think the statute of limitations has run out by now. And they just cut loose.
It was the most fun I've had filming a movie. I mean, basically, we like moved to Austin for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a house. And me, Nick Rutherford, and Beck Bennett all bought Vespas. Yeah. So we get around Austin.
Not Vespa brand Vespas.
No. Like just little scooters.
Like homemade Vespas.
yeah. Vespa.
Anyone take a nice tumble?
We rode them on the highway, like, really idiotically. Mine kept breaking over and over again. Mine was a lemon.
Mine was bright yellow. I could be seen from outer space on mine.
Yeah. Mine was red. Ours are pretty adorable when put next to each other. Yeah.
So you're out of your element. You guys are
in
this house.
Austin. And, it's crazy because, like, it really was like going to summer camp. We'd spend weekends, like, going to Barton Springs or just, like, playing drinking games in someone's house or just, like, playing putt-putt golf. It was a lot of fun. The film was made up of kind of actors that both Bradley and Andrew really liked from, I went to film school with Andrew, but they liked from YouTube or from, you know, TV shows they liked, and some of their friends from Austin, Texas, who were just really funny. So it was kind of a big group smashed together, and luckily everyone just really got along. It was so much fun. It really was.
Wow. 2 years ago.
Yep. 2 years ago, yeah.
Did you write this movie off, Balls Out, at some point? Like, it's never going to come
immediately.
Out?
Oh, yeah. No.
Also, when we first signed on to the movie was called Intramural.
Okay.
Yeah, it was called Intramural until about yesterday.
And then they changed it to Balls Out, which is,
how do you
is
feel
hard
about
to
that?
Say with
well,
a straight
it's,
face.
I think Nick and I represent the kind of the split of all of us, because I was like, Balls Out, cool. And Nick was like, what are you talking about? No, I think we've all grown to love it. I mean, it really does feel like an 80s pick you'd see, or flick that you'd see, like, you know, in Blockbuster. Kids, Blockbuster is a place where you used to go and pick out films tactily. It was great fun. I miss it. But, like, it feels like a name for an 80s throwback sports movie, which this, you know, is. Intramural does have a little more class to it, but let's be honest, this movie maybe doesn't need that much class to it. That's the whole point.
It's Balls Out is going to get more people, I think, to watch it than Intramural would.
Right.
But it's hard. It's just literally harder for me to say out loud.
Right. Right.
What's that film I was in? It's called Balls Out.
I dig both. I think they're both very good.
Well, it just seems to me that both of you and all those guys together, like you said, ad-libbing, let's talk about on the field, because they were actually cut together pretty good. Some sports movies, you know, like, you can just tell that's like, Remember the Titans. Oh, they're not really playing. Right. You guys actually have games?
Yeah, I mean, we had a football coach come in and, teach us.
No.
Oh, yeah.
We had rehearsed plays. Like, it's really easy to be good at football when, like, the guy on the other team has to turn right here,
yeah,
and
he's
you
like,
get to go left.
And it's so ridiculous, because often they're, like, so much bigger than us, but, like, you know, we have to run into them, and they'll be like, oh! They'll be like, I'm so fucking strong. Can I say fuck on this?
I guess so.
I guess I did.
Yeah.
Twice. We're rated R.
Is flag football still a thing? I'm sorry, I'm not sure.
You know what?
We're not.
We didn't do any research.
You didn't do any. I did some research into magic tricks, because that was the most exciting part of my character.
That was before you knew you were involved in the film,
that was since I was like 6 years old.
Does that include rehearsing magic?
Yeah, I did rehearse some tricks for the. I didn't get to do that many on camera, but I have to do kind of one snap change with a card, which was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. That I got to rehearse, or that I rehearsed myself. But it was good that I did, because they showed up on set and they're like, "We need you to transform one card into another. Can you do that?" And I was like, "I can. You're lucky I can, because it's a kind of a hard thing to do."
Well, what about? That's Balls Out, and again, we're going to have that advanced screening Tuesday night, and then the movie comes out VOD and select theaters on the 19th. But you guys are on fire as a team.
Sure, if you say so.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you guys are working on things together. What are you guys working on now?
Okay, go for it.
So, currently, we're writing a movie for Lionsgate, which we've been working on for a while, but we're very excited about.
Hey, if you ever want to write a time travel film, just know to dedicate many years of your life.
Time travel movies are very difficult to write, we're learning.
How so?
Oh, I don't know. Time travel doesn't
exist.
It's
hard enough to figure out how to structure a film. Like, that's like quantum physics in and of itself. And to add actual quantum physics on top of that.
That's empty.
It's quadruple physics. It's all fake, everybody.
There was a little bit in
there. It's all nothing. This is Hollywood. It's bullshit.
Just don't ruin the space-time continuum, the same character occupying the same time. Just don't do that.
No. Well, we do. A character literally has to give drugs to his past self.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Recently, the guys who wrote Despicable Me 1, 2, 3, Horton Hears a Who, Ken Dario, Cinco Paul, they were here, and they were talking about the stress of having to hit a deadline. Now, is Lionsgate say, hey, whenever you guys have it, cool, or are you guys being lambasted?
At first they were, and then they saw how long it took us to do the first draft, and now they're like, hey guys, let's have a little bit of a schedule between us. We're like, okay, good idea. No, they're very cool.
They've been amazing about giving us our space and letting us do what we want to do, which is awesome. But yeah, you know, we the deadline is like imposed by us and stresses us out.
Yeah.
What is your space? How do you guys go about writing? What's your method?
We wander around Brian's apartment shouting at each other until we finally agree on something.
The way we've always done since, you know, writing sketches from the beginning is like, we don't really move forward until we agree on everything. You know, when you look at one of our sketches online, it's kind of hard to tell whose joke is whose or whose idea is what, because we kind of just, it just becomes this thing where someone will throw it like the seed of an idea and the other person will add to it, and by the end it's just like our thing. And so, you know, that's sort of how we're doing the movie and how we, you know, do TV pilots and stuff. And it takes a long time, but, you know, finally when we get to it, it does feel like our thing together. And it's, I don't know if I recommend it or not, but that's just how we do it.
It's pretty intense, though.
Yes.
Meaning,
it can be.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know, it goes like, it's so weird. It's like there's moments of clarity where it's so easy and it's amazing and it's fun. And there's some moments where it's like, why is it so hard for us to, like, put pretend words on paper? Like, it's so strange.
Are you easily distracted?
Yes.
We do this thing where we have to turn off our phones, give our phones to the other person, and that person goes and hides it in the house.
Yeah.
That's how bad we are.
We unplug the internet, and yet still we'll find, like, there'll be, like, a moth.
What is the tone of the film? Now, it's time travel. Is it,
yeah.
You guys, there's that old say, that old saying, you got to dance with who brung you. So is it a comedy?
I've never heard that saying.
You got to dance with who brung you.
Oh, yeah. It's like...
You got to dance with who brung you means don't reinvent the wheel.
I got you.
You guys are funny. So it's a time travel comedy.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's setting the bar, right?
Yes.
So that's
well, you know, it's okay. So going
we
to
we kind of follow the same logic as Back to the Future, time travel theory wise.
Our original idea was like, we're going to make the first ever movie, especially comedy, that has no holes in the time travel logic. And we tried to do that for a while, and then we're like, all right, we're spending the entire film just explaining this time travel
becoming
theory.
Becoming a lecture on time travel.
Like, all right, give it up. There are holes in this film.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's because it's the truth is, you know, this is a different tone than our sketches. Our sketches are silly and bombastic and often parody a certain style and stuff. And and, you know, sketches are joke centric.
Yeah.
And this movie is a movie. It's, you know, we really look to Pixar and the Coen brothers and, you know, comedies that have a lot of like heart and great storytelling to them to sort of figure out how we wanted to do this. And what sort of, I think you can run into trouble with when you're a comedian making a film is you make your movie joke centric like you would your sketches or something. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to kind of put that aside, which requires a little patience and skill, I think, that we're developing to like really, you know, benefit the movie first. I mean, it's a relationship, it's a breakup story, which is
heart was the word I took out of that last, you know, putting a heart in a film is what makes you love a film.
Yes.
You know, so
yeah.
Is that new for you guys? Because you were saying joke centric bits online. Now you're talking about a 90-minute, 2-hour movie.
It is. It is, but it's, you know, it's, we've always, you know, since we've started being creative, like there's we've loved comedy, but we've also loved the other side of it and actually, you know, being honest and creating real moments. And you don't really get a chance to do that much on YouTube, but we're really taking the opportunity with this film to sink our teeth into that. And it's like the outline, when we were outlining it, we were kind of like, we do need to like make this movie sort of funny. This sounds like really sad,
but
it is, like, we've added in a ton of like humor to it, but at its core it's kind of, you know, it's a story about letting go and kind of relationships ending.
But there's definitely like, we've like, you know, like we'll watch Airplane or something and be like, ah, I want to do this. Yeah. Next time we're doing this. This is just, this seems like heaven.
Do you guys, when you're writing, have certain actors in mind when you're writing characters?
Sometimes.
Yeah,
yes.
Sometimes, yeah.
That's definitely happened before. Sometimes we don't. It always helps when you figure it out, because then you can like write to that character. But sometimes a character is just so like amorphous, and if you don't, you really have to figure out what that character is, because we realized for a while, we'd like go a long time and realize we thought very differently about a certain character. I'd be like, oh, I envision her as being played by this person. And it was like, really? I thought it was this person. We're like, okay, we need to get on the same page about. So it helps just having someone in mind sometimes. You know, there's a lot of these like kind of learning curve things that we're having to deal with.
Are you guys on the same page as far as, do you guys like see movies together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about a movie that you go, God, what a piece of garbage that was.
Right.
You know, and then do you guys usually agree or you guys usually disagree?
I think
normally,
I think it's me
that thinks it's like a piece of garbage, and Brian's like, no, come on, give it a shot.
I think our Venn diagram movies intersect for the most part. There's definitely some that are like, that you love, and some that I love that everyone's like,
Okay, any titles that come to mind?
Where we disagree?
I mean,
agree, disagree. What do you guys see together?
You still think that I'm joking about my love for Dunstan Checks In, but I'm not. I love
Eric Lloyd.
There you go. Good man.
Well, yeah.
Cheers.
Yeah. Heart and Souls. Good kid actor, by the way.
Yeah. No, I mean, what I think...
You don't like Dunstan Checks In?
I like Dunstan Checks In. I loved it when I saw it in third grade.
I think,
now you're a different person?
Well, I don't, you know, I haven't really revisited the film.
I think there are certain films, I don't think there are any films that, like, one of us loves, the other one hates, but there are some where it's like, we have unhealthy obsessions with it, where the other one's like, I love That Thing You Do. How much do you like That Thing You Do?
I really like That Thing You Do.
I'm obsessed with that movie.
I'm obsessed with that. I'm obsessed.
Thumbs up.
Oh, good. Yeah. I'm obsessed with Magnolia. Were you as into Magnolia as I was?
Yes, I was obsessed with Magnolia.
So, yeah, we're pretty. I think the second and third Matrix movies, you'll argue way more than I will.
Yeah, I mean, well.
You're going to give the Wachowskis a pass on 2 and 3?
Listen. Brian always baits me into these arguments. No,
and now you're in it, so let's hear it.
All right, well, this is what I think.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back to the first one.
Okay.
Best science fiction film of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. Yes.
So then the second one came out, and I saw it in theaters, and I didn't like it initially in theaters. And then I sort of talked to a friend about it, and he kind of explained to me the whole architect scene, because that had kind of gone over my head when I saw it. And after having that explained to me, I liked it a lot more, went to see it again in theaters, and was like, oh, I really love this. I think they're going to I think it's a stepping stone. I think they're really going to stick the landing with the third movie. And I loved a lot of the action sequences in the second one, and I was like, I like it. I think I really like it. And then the third one came out. And
the Oracle passed away. That sucked.
The Oracle passed away. That was rough.
But she has different forms.
Yeah, that was,
You had to go with it.
That was a cumbersome explanation of, exactly what's happening, Here's my overall thing is, I understand that those movies have flaws, and I'll be the first one to point out to you what those flaws are. However, I love them nonetheless.
I'm going to stop baiting you into doing this over and over again.
Well, you know what? I will say the first one is one of those perfect movies.
It really is. I'm not even a huge fan of action films. I think Nick's probably more than I am, but I think the first Matrix is just like such an incredible. I mean, I'm not saying anyone doesn't know here, but it's. Yeah.
Who's your go-to action star?
Action star?
Yeah.
I mean, right now.
Are we talking about 90s or are we talking about
right
now?
Right now, I really love The Rock.
How can you not?
He's so. He commits 3,000% to his movies. I also love how he promotes his films. He's
a machine.
Sometimes unlike Balls Out, a movie which I really, really love, there's sometimes you do a movie and it's not great.
And you gotta sell it.
And
right.
You have to sort of be like, oh yeah, it's good. And he's like, I don't think, The Rock has not been a part of something that he hasn't been like, best movie ever, yeah. I'm getting after it, let's you be the best version of yourself and we'll empower each other.
One time of an actor selling a movie that I had to sit across from a table and just kind of like, Alec Baldwin,
yeah.
The Shadow. He's like,
The Shadow, what was that?
There's a comic book film from like the 30s. And he's like, this movie has a lot of what they call velocity. And I'm like, what?
A lot of what they call velocity. That's
movie,
a weird workaround.
This movie displaces a lot of water.
Did you guys see San Andreas though, going back to The Rock?
I haven't. I want to.
Oh, I just want to give it all away right now.
go for it.
I don't want to give it away, but let's just say this. I love Dwayne Johnson, but
yeah.
If he would have done what he did in that film, he would have been brought up on charges. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Good to know.
You know what I mean? He's going to save his wife. He's going to save his daughter. And everyone else is going to perish.
Oh, wow.
Got it.
Yeah. But you know what? He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys.
I was also going to say one more thing. We're also making new sketches. If you guys are fans watching out there, we haven't done it in 2 years.
We're filming one this weekend. We're very excited.
Well, I'm into the Britannic world. So tell me, give us a little sneak peek of what is going to be unleashed online, what you guys are cracking up right now.
Well,
this next one involves, it's called The Foul Line. It's about a basketball game.
Yeah.
That's all we'll say.
Yeah. About a basketball game. It's us playing athletes.
We're not telling
again.
You anymore because we're...
There you go. Shh. Go ahead.
It's us playing athletes. We play basketball players.
I was just shush.
That's where I didn't mean to shush you, Brian.
No,
I was
okay.
Just kidding. All right. Well, listen. Are you guys going to be at this screen? Are they allowed to come to the screening next Tuesday?
There is a person
there.
Over here, so
yeah, exactly,
talking.
Exactly. The brains of the operation is here.
Who is he talking
to?
Yeah,
exactly.
We will be there. We're doing a Q&A afterwards.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
And we're going to record that one as well. So
okay.
Again, you guys being there, I appreciate it. And come back anytime you want. Now listen,
cool.
When this Lion Gate thing when it pops, you know, you guys got to come back here. That's kind of like I would love
so
it.
So we'll see you in 2032.
It's a time travel thing. I forgot. All right, so we'll find you guys on Twitter. You can check it out right there. Balls Out is it's really funny.
Thank you. And it is. He's not lying. It really is.
I wouldn't bullshit. It's funny. And, you know, you reminded me of Patch from Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that kid at that screening?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you... What is the cadence of that?
What is his voice? It's I haven't done it in 2 years.
Like Red Rosenfeld.
Listen to me.
No. Yeah, it's good.
Yes.
Or you can go to the Tom Hank route. Tom Hanks did this. We're like at the Forrest Gump junket. Hey, Tom, can you do Forrest? Oh, I would have to get into a whole thing. No, I can't do Forrest. I can't. I was like, oh, shit. You just pissed the guy off. But you're, you know.
Not me. I'd have to get into a whole thing.
Well, then, can you take us out to finish the interview for us in that voice?
Yes, well, we did the interview. The interview's done. We nailed it. We promoted the hell out of the film. You're gonna go see it on the comfort of your couch because it's on VOD. You don't even have to go to the theater. June 19th. Balls Out.
Shut
the
up.
The movie's titled Balls Out.
I didn't get that.
Like testicles outside of your pants. Not intramural anymore. Balls Out.
I wish that was the end of the trailer. Not intramural anymore.
You guys are awesome. Don't forget, our screening is going to be Tuesday night. If you want tickets, email me, leo@filmfreak.com. Nick Kocher, Brian McElhaney, thank you guys so very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Such a pleasure.
Yeah! We'll see you next time on the Film Freak Movie Interview.
We did it!
Thank you, Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro. We love you guys.
I can't believe it! Mitch Borg, yeah!
America!
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.